I expect you recognised, even if you couldn't hear very well, that short clip from John Lennon's song Imagine. The physicist Albert Einstein is reputed to have said, "Logic will get you from A to Z. Imagination will get you everywhere." And this morning, as we begin the season of Advent, I want to talk about imagination. Often we think of Advent in terms of preparing or waiting for Christmas. And of course, that's part of it. But it seems to me that Advent is also about hopeful imagination. It's only when we can dare to imagine that things could be different, that we really have something to hope for, something to long for, something to work for. And when I talk about imagination, I don't mean the let's pretend imagination of childhood games, or the sort of naive imagining which ignores reality. Instead, I'm talking about the sort of imagination that leads to action and to change. In our Old Testament reading, we encountered the John Lennon of his generation, Isaiah of Jerusalem. Did you notice that rather odd introduction to the reading? The word that Isaiah saw. Usually we think about reading or hearing words. And of course, sometimes, if you're anything like me, the words flow over you, and within a few seconds, you can't remember what it was you've heard or read. But Isaiah, our reading suggests, saw those words in his imagination. He envisioned them. And like Lennon's version of a world free from greed and hunger, a world where people live in peace, Isaiah offers a powerful vision of total transformation, a vision of humanity restored to right relationship with God and with one another, a vision of universal peace as the nations of the world come together to worship in Jerusalem. Of course, streams normally run downhill. But Isaiah's a poet, so he's not bound by the laws of nature. And so he has that wonderful picture of a stream of humanity flooding upwards, up the hill to Jerusalem, which of course means city of peace. This is a world under divine, not human sovereignty, where God will arbitrate disputes and teach people to live differently. There is no compulsion, rather excitement. Hey, let's go to God's mountain. So was Isaiah just a naive visionary who couldn't face the harsh realities of life and so escaped into some sort of daydream? Well, you don't need to read too much of the early chapters of Isaiah to realize that the prophet was all too well aware of Israel's calamitous state. Under threat from the current superpower, Assyria, in the north, the other great power of the day, Egypt, in the south. Must have felt a bit like being the meat in a sandwich, just waiting for the teeth to bite. That's what Israel was like in the 8th century BCE. Yes, Isaiah knew all about those harsh present realities. But he wasn't going to be defined by those realities. He dares his listeners to think beyond their present parlous state to a future filled with the hope that things could be different. In days to come, he writes, setting out that vision of universal peace and justice. Well, as we know, that vision wasn't realized in Isaiah's day, or in the hundreds of years of history which followed. And although Isaiah's words are carved into the wall across from the United Nations building, that vision hasn't been realised in our generation either. It may never be entirely fulfilled in human lifetime. But even if that's so, it seems to me that it's important to keep hold of that vision, to let that picture of what the future could be challenge and energise us to work for change in the present. I'm told that in the UK we spend about £34 billion each year on defence, and £11 billion on overseas aid. And I think the UK is actually one of the most generous of all the G8 nations when it comes to overseas aid. But just imagine, if you can, that we didn't need a defence budget, that nobody needed a defence budget, because we'd stopped fighting one another, we'd stopped hating and fearing each other. We could be putting the world's money and energy into food production, not arms production. We could be eradicating poverty in the UK and overseas. As Dwight Eisenhower put it a generation ago, every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. Of course, it's hard, it's almost impossible to imagine a world entirely free of war. But what if we moved just a few steps closer? What if we imagined a different world, a better world? What if we lived in hope rather than despair? Because even for us, amidst those ongoing conflicts in Syria, the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, even for us, there are those small signs of hope, those tiny glimpses of what might be. Many of us in our lifetime have seen the Berlin Wall come down. We've seen peace in Northern Ireland. This last month, the Syrian government agreed to participate in peace talks early next year. And just a week ago, there was that interim deal with Iran over its nuclear program. Tiny, tiny steps forward, pinpricks of light amid the darkness. That's true. But also, it seems to me, signs that we should never give up hope. In Isaiah's terms, if as human beings we can learn war, then surely we can also learn peace. Isaiah knows that his vision is for the future. Maybe he even recognizes that it will never be fully fulfilled. But in the meantime, he challenges his readers to live differently in the light of that future hope. Did you notice the verb change from future promise to present encouragement? O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And that's also the Advent challenge for us here this morning. People of St. Mary's, Mortlake, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What are our dreams this morning for our world, for the church, for this community, for our own family? And what small steps could we take to make those dreams a reality? The season of Advent invites us to a hopeful imagining, to a new way of seeing, to be on the lookout for signs, however small, of God's kingdom breaking into our world. It invites us to a new way of learning. Are there destructive learned behaviours that we need to unlearn? And new ways of living and relating that we need to learn. Advent invites us to a new way of walking, Can we, despite the darkness around us and within us, take some small tentative steps into the light? Can we use this precious season of Advent to catch something of God's vision for his world and begin to live it out? Advent in our northern hemisphere comes as the nights grow progressively longer. But as the physical darkness deepens, week by week in Advent, we light another candle. We symbolically expel another bit of darkness from our lives and from our world. And so this Advent, may God lighten all our darkness and open our eyes to glimpses of his kingdom. Amen.